I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
The painting's gone. Barbie, we've got a mystery to solve.
I'm on my way.
Detective Barbie.
Solving a mystery on a tropical cruise. Secret gadgets, find hidden clues. Search the island waterfall.
We found the painting.
But that's not all.
Did we even play that one?
No, that was later. We did not play that.
Oh, God. Come on, Barbie. Let's solve mysteries.
Yeah, let's solve mysteries and party, Barbie. Hey, everybody.
Barbie.
Welcome to Play Retro. This is Play Retro episode 49 for Wednesday, December 28th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson, and I wish I had as much expendable income as Blondie over there. Between her cars and her epic parties and her eunuch known as Ken, she's just the most happening gal of all time.
Man, just visit Barbie's mansion. You'll see how rich that lady is. That gal is. And I'm your other host, Brian Dunaway. And I just spent the past hour getting ready for a last minute invite to the prom. Like 9 o'clock in the morning, by the way, from Ken over the 80s corded phone. And when he picked me up, he took me to the gym. I think Ken had a stroke.
You think Ken had a stroke?
He must have had a stroke because he's been telling me all day. It's like, you got to get ready for the prom. And then it's like, I show up on my prom wear and the screenshot is me and him at the gym. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, that ain't the prom.
That's not. You said I have 1 hour to get ready for the prom. And is this your joke? Is this a joke, Ken?
Yeah, Ken's, full of, joke Ken's full of bad ideas.
See you in an hour.
That's the one. Yep. It was always see you in an hour. Son of a bastard.
Yeah, we'll get to all that in a minute and try to explain to you people what we're doing today because it's a little different, okay? It's a little different. But don't worry, you're going to have a good time. I want to start things off, though, by mentioning something. I want everybody listening to Play Retro to have a chance at this. Technically, this is a partnership with Doghouse Systems, Intel, and Core, the podcast Core. But we're like a sister show over here. Or maybe it's the sister show of this. Who's to say?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, today,
you don't know, sister.
Today, it's definitely the sister show, if you know what I'm saying. But anyway, I want you guys to be in on this because you have a chance of winning a massive prize. So this deal that we've got going with Doghouse Systems, they make amazing gaming rigs, gaming PCs. And they are putting together a $4,000 build, which we're actually going to live stream the build on Friday. I'll be hosting that right here on our Twitch channel. But they're going to build it in real time. We're going to do some giveaways during that time and so on. And it's one of their Armor TL series, latest i9 Intel processor, fast as hell GPU, giant storage, all this stuff. Here's a picture chat of this beast. And then, like I said, $3,995 what this goes for normally. This thing is now going to be free for one lucky winner. Here's what you do to sign up. You go over, and all the details are there. The only real restriction here, there's one restriction. Well, two. One is you got to live in the U.S. or Canada. Anything outside of that is like $2,000 to ship it. So we're not doing
I can't imagine sending a beast like that.
Yeah, it's bad.
International
bulk shipping like that is a freaking nightmare. The other restriction is one entry per household And we're just going to have to hold you to your honest selves about that. Okay, so honor system here. There's already quite a few people signed up because I announced this on Twitter, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned on the show. Here's where you go. Go to frogpants.com/doghouse, all one word, D-O-G-H-O-U-S-E. So again, that's frogpants.com/doghouse. And you can sign up to win this armor TL and make it your very own if you are chosen at random. Not tomorrow, but a week from tomorrow, we do the drawing. So you've got some time.
For tomorrow.
But 1 week from tomorrow, we got an episode of Core tomorrow to finish out the year. Then I do the live build or the live stream of the build on Friday. And then that thing burns in, you know, does all of its testing for like 5 days. During that time, signups are still open. And then on the evening of the first Thursday of the year, we are giving that away on Core.
Yes, look at that. It's a 3080. I don't mind if I do.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We are very happy with this, how this thing's panning out. So that's going to be built and done, like I said, on Friday. Go sign up today, frogpants.com/doghouse, and you could be a wiener.
Brian, what'd you don't give? Win, you can order one, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you can, yeah, of course, if you don't win it, you can always order one. But boy, wouldn't it be nice to not have to pay a dime. That'd be nice, right?
Wouldn't it be nice?
And it comes with, by the way, their full warranty, their lifetime phone support, all that stuff, all it's all included. So it's not like some janky, you know.
I know. Thing. And these guys are great. I love Doghouse. We've worked with Doghouse. How long has it been now? Oh my
long
God,
time.
We've been
a long time. Well, 2000, I can tell you, 2008 is when I started doing stuff with them.
That is crazy.
I know.
Yeah, 13 years. Look at that.
I think I'm on my third or fourth Doghouse PC machine myself. Like here, I'll show you guys real quick. This is kind of, I want to see if this works actually, because it's kind of a test here.
Look at my
image.
Doghouse.
Where's the thing?
Oh, this my computer's a dog.
Oh, here it is.
Okay. House.
So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go, and then we're going to choose my phone. Yeah, look at this. Oh, look at this. Chat.
Look at it.
Oh, it's my room's awful dirty. But
there you go.
Right,
that's okay.
House.
I don't judge you.
Look at that beast.
Look at that.
Yep.
Look, that's me. It's the doghouse. Look at that right there, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah, look at his logo. And it's if I had it on, well, I guess I can. You can see all the pretty lights. Look at this.
Ooh. Got a little. What's that blue ball down there?
Oh, that's gross. Another microphone.
Mm.
That right there.
Oh, yeah. Look, you got some lights on that bad boy. Yes.
Yeah. What do you think of this? What do you think of this?
I think it is. That a 3080 in there all glowed up?
There's a duck. Yeah, there's a 3080 in there, I think, is what I ended up with. Yep. And it's fast. It's awesome. You can program these lights to like do all sorts of stupid stuff if you're into that sort of thing. I have my retro controller connected to it right now. I love this machine. Yep. It is serving me well. And you could serve yourself well as well.
But can you play Barbie on it?
No, you can't. Well, yes, actually, you can.
Okay.
You can play all that stuff on there. Anything you want to play on there, Brian, it will let you do it.
Can I print my Barbies out? Otherwise, forget it.
No, but I do want to know what you got for Christmas in terms of like retro stuff. So tell the people at home what cool shit you gathered.
Absolutely. So right before Christmas, I was okay. So once a year, I'll usually sign up for Nintendo Online for about 3 months at a time because I'm not going to. That's the reason why I haven't done the 64 version of the Nintendo Online is because they make you pay for a year. I'm not that consistent. I may play 3 months and then I probably won't play it for like 6 months. You're not tricking me, Nintendo. However, they did trick me anyway. I did the re-up on the Nintendo Online. We did our Mario a cart episode when we did our cart episode.
Yeah.
And immediately after signing up, Nintendo said, "Hey, Brian." I was like, "What now? What do you want?" They said, "How would you like this cool NES wireless controller that you can plug into your Switch?" And I was like, "I'm listening."
Wait, wireless controller you plug into your Switch? That doesn't make any sense. Oh.
You can charge it. You charge it through your Switch. So look at that. It's got your little docking bay there. You plug it into the side of your Switch there.
It's into your controller, the Joy-Con slot, right?
Yeah, into the Joy-Con slot. Like that little part that when you go, it makes the Switch noise. That's the thing it does. You plug it right in there, and then you got your little wireless controller here. I guess that's how you pair it, and you just get in there, and you can play your NES games. I might keep it longer than 6 months now. the Nintendo Online. Still haven't convinced me about the 64 version yet, but this was a big deal for me. I ordered this. It got here in fairly short order. I got that for Christmas. Got some new headphones for Christmas. I got a PlayStation 5 controller, which I talked about pre-show. And the reason why, so like, Brian, you have a PS5? I know I don't, but people had talked really good about it and how it would work well with my Mr. FPGA, which is a piece of retro hardware. And so I said, sure, why not? So to add to my 40-plus controllers, I don't know how many controllers I have at this point, Scott, but to add to them, now I've had, what, three more, maybe four? I don't know. I've got too many controllers, but I don't care because I got a 3D printer as well for Christmas, and I'm printing out stands for everything.
That's because you're a wild man and you're a glutton for punishment because you like to have effed up printing problems and deal with those. And
it's actually getting a lot better. I ran into some problems. Some of it was a learning curve. Some of it was me disassembling my 3D printer and reassembling it and finding very minute things because people kept telling me it's very important that you're square. And I was like, okay, I'm square. I'm like, I had the squarest freaking 3D printer you've ever seen. There's nothing more square than what I got.
Yeah, you're hip to be square. Look at you. You're all square.
I know. I've measured a million times. And so your bed's got to be level two. And I'm like, there's never been anybody's bed that's been more level than mine. I have the freaking down to the, you know, to the micron. You know, it's just like, it's all freaking perfect.
Yeah.
And so eventually I tore everything down and it was like part of one of the spinny arms was like that raised the motor up and down apparently was too far down or something on top of a spindle that no one said anything about or said in any YouTube videos. But after tearing everything down and looking at it and staring at it for like an hour, I'm like, okay, I think this may be the problem.
So that means you need to do it. You need to do YouTube video to clear everything up for everybody else.
I guess so. Yeah. And I wondered when I put it together because I was like, that bar, that doesn't go down very far. And I was like, so I made it go down a little further and then it was making all kinds of noises. So I backed back out and I found like an in-between spot. And since then, it's been just all cheese, man. It's been all cheese.
Good.
So,
good.
Yeah, I don't know.
All cheese. By that, he means like cheddar, like the 60s when you were like robbing the bank. We got to split that cheddar once we get the bank robbed, see? That's what that means. So when now it says cheese.
We got our nice little, flexi Rexy who can flex right, and he's all 3D printed up and everything. So
is that what those called? Flexi Rexy? That's the name.
Flexi Rexy.
Why not flexible Rexable?
Because that's too long. Flexi Rex.
All right. Shit.
Yeah.
Well, all right, cool. Well, I hope everybody else listening to us had a really nice holiday. We still have the first coming up. We wanted to make sure to give you an episode before we went. And we want to, I think, offer a olive branch to the retro ladies out there. All right?
Yes.
We'll explain why and what right now.
Shall we play a game?
So we did something a little weird. A little weird.
Weird for a podcast with two middle-aged men. How about that?
I'll give you that.
That's what's weird about it.
I'll give you that. So the one thing I never think about is when I think of retro gaming, right? I think, oh, yeah, Contra, freaking Joust. What other manly, pursuit can we talk about here? Like there's a lot of shooting and a lot of science fiction, a lot of fantasy, a lot of that stuff going on. And I'm not saying that traditionally there's anything wrong with girls and women being into those genres or those subgenres. Of course not. There are plenty who are. But
thank God.
Here's the thing. Here's the yes. Thank you for being here and with us because we're gross. So here's my whole takeaway, though, or one of my big takeaways. When girls were young and when boys are young, society has its way of, channeling boy stuff to boys, girl stuff to girls, especially on in a commercial way. And you and I, Kenner's like, new Star Wars collection, blah, 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 and you got all this Kenner cool Star Wars stuff. Here's Darth Vader with his retractable lightsaber. Here's Luke with his stupid pants. Here's Chewie who can't move his neck, whatever. Like all these amazing toys. And it wasn't just as little kids we're having fun with those. We were. But as time went on, we held on to those. We talked about getting more of them. We kept some in better condition because we thought they might be worth something one day. And then even into adulthood, into that mythical middle age you mentioned. It's not mythical at all. It's real. You get there, and we're still into it. I still have that stuff behind me. This rack of toys, most of it's Star Wars stuff. Look, I got a...
We don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid.
I got a full-size...
I'm never growing up.
I got a stormtrooper about the size of a 10-year-old over there. Look at that thing.
Yeah.
And you can't tell because of the camera cut, but he has a Boba Fett helmet on, which makes no sense. Anyway,
I love it.
We are continually encouraged by both the commercial side and ourselves to continue to have this stuff, collect this stuff, show off this stuff. We may not be sitting around playing with them per se. Some may, and no shame if you are. But my point is, like, they are still here, and we're encouraged. It's a positive thing that we're still into it, right?
Right.
I don't feel like women get that when it comes to the stuff they had as little girls. When they were being pushed, when they had Barbie being pushed on them constantly.
Right.
There's no after, when that ended, that phase ended for them, let's say, I don't know, the girls turn 11 or 12, whatever their kind of fall off was. That was a thing they pushed way to the side, pushed it into the past, tucked it under the bed. You don't see women now in their 40s going, oh, I got to get my hands on those 14 new Barbie thing. They don't do it like we do it. And I don't think it's their fault.
They don't do it to the degree we do it.
I don't think it's their fault.
There are some that do.
Of course. There's always going to be outliers. I realize that. But what I'm saying is they don't have the motivation that we have because society has given us positive feedback for it. And
we've built a culture. We have conventions based on...
Right, and there's a positive loop that comes with that. I think we robbed women of that opportunity. I really do.
I agree.
From a commercial standpoint, they just don't push it the way they did, and it doesn't have that geek cachet that we all have hoarded and hogged for ourselves. They haven't had that with their stuff, whatever it was. My Pretty Pony, freaking Strawberry Shortcake, all the stuff my sisters were into. Not one of them's ever like, yeah, I was going through my collection, I found this. Strawberry blueberry muffin or whatever her name is. I found her in mint condition, dude. She was totally mint. They're not doing that. Why aren't
they
doing that?
Because she doesn't smell anymore, and that was her big appeal. She had to smell like the blueberries.
You remember those? Oh my gosh, I loved how those.
Oh God, yes. Well, I think Scott's in the same situation as I am. So this is the reason why when I saw this article about Barbie outselling Doom in a short period of time back in 1991, I was like, what? And so I grew up surrounded by women in a house full of women. My mom was a beautician. She had a house she had a home salon. So women were in and out all day. And you know, my sisters were about 8 years younger than me, and I was always in to babysit them and entertain them. And so I was surrounded by ladies in their toys of that age. And so I have had a lot of exposure to stuff like Barbie and helping my sisters get past certain parts if they were playing games that were related to any type of these things.
Right.
So I had no stigma. It didn't bother me because I had an excuse, I suppose. I was kind of like, I've played with the Barbies with my sisters. I'm not some kind of weirdo. Only if my sisters weren't there would I be a weirdo.
I introduced a lot of it. So what would happen there is my sister would be like, all right, I've got a Care Bear, and the other sister would have a Barbie. The other one would have a big horse, plastic horse. And I'd come waltzing in there with like the Millennium Falcon and two stormtroopers. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what we're doing, but let's do it. Let's get this story going. Yeah, I was into it. But anyway, I guess what I'm saying is when you first announced or when you first suggested to me, hey, what do you think about this whole Barbie angle and what these games meant in a particular era of time, and certainly in the comparison of Doom, you know, and the sales figures, that all was compelling on its own. But what really got me in the right headspace was I just think we owe them a little something, you know?
Well, what did we miss out on? Because I'll tell you this, it's just like, what did we miss out on? Because I had a generalized idea of most Barbie games. I don't remember playing any of them to any, you know, effect. To where I would remember anything. And so I had this very flat impression of what all Barbie games were, which was just, you know, paper doll cutouts that you do everything's pink and you dress up Barbie. That's the whole game. That's the whole game mechanic. And, you know, I like, you know, customizing my characters, but that's only part of a game. And then I move on. If you told me that customizing the character was the whole game, I'd be like, I don't know about that. And what am I dressing up for? To go on a date? See, none of that sounds appealing to me. But I knew these games wouldn't be just that. Because you can't just have that. There are those, but you can't just have that.
Sure. Some of them a little more egregious than others in terms of, you know, not containing much gameplay, but there are others where right. there is more gameplay. And my feeling about that, I agree with you, first of all. When right. I saw these in those years, I would go, I ain't playing that. Are you freaking kidding? That's for my, you know, like, four-year-old
that's
future
not
niece.
For me. That's for a six-year-old girl.
That's for tiny kids or whatever. And in some, yeah. you know, and there's nothing wrong with games being aimed at whatever age group they're aimed at. It's not really my issue. My issue was I had a preconceived notion of what these must be. And right. here's the truth of it that I've had to face. A lot of games that I like today, like modern games that fit into this chore core category I always talk about, where it's like work a little bit.
Right.
Like, oh, I got a, it's a electronic simulator, or it's a car wash simulator, or it's a power wash simulator, which has been a big one this year, or lawn mowing sim. These kind of work as game or gamified work type things that I really get yeah. into, they're really not that different than what these were trying to be back then. Of course, we had less technology. We couldn't do these 3D worlds and all the progression and everything. But they were early examples of some of that more casual stuff that I really like now. Like, yeah. you know, your farming sims like Stardew Valley is an example. You know, nothing that the Barbie games were doing were this complicated, but there were bits and right. shadows and pieces of what these kinds of games would be one day. And I realized that I'm already kind of playing in the genre that I used to think was for six-year-olds, but yeah. really yeah. there's more to them. There can be anyway. They've been iterated on and developed out and made into something more. And so I'm a little mad at myself for being so judgmental about this stuff, you know?
Right.
Because I didn't know any better. Well, and I wasn't spending $50.
Wait until we finish talking
out.
About the games, then we can decide if you
Yeah, then we'll decide if these are good or not. But I, you know, I just think I like a lot of things in life. You base it on the cover.
Yeah.
And let's
frame real quick. Mattel, which is who does the Barbie and the Barbie games, their target audience has always been the 3 to 8 year olds. So it's a 5 year span there where they sell their plastic toys to. And it's when those kids before they hit, puberty. And so we had Hot Wheels on one side for the boys and Barbie on the other side for the girls. I was huge into Hot Wheels. If you ask me if you would have said last week, let's do an episode on Hot Wheels, I said, sign me up. Wouldn't have been a question. We would have mm-hmm. just played it. Wouldn't even thought about the age of it or anything.
Yep.
But Barbie, I was like, okay, so, you know, 3 to 9, 3 to 8, that age group. I think some of these games are a little beyond 3 to 8 when I was playing them. I was like,
oh, yeah.
Some of these things are legit confusing and hard even for an adult.
The unreleased one we'll talk about eventually is one in particular where I think there was maybe a little too much going on for a younger mind.
Right.
But you know, your mileage may vary. You got a really smart kid or something. I'm going to start things by playing the Barbie intro for the Barbie C64 Commodore 64 game, 1984.
Yeah, 1984. This is an Epics game. Mattel and Epics got together and they hired a Goldfarb, and we'll talk about Goldfarb in a minute.
Yeah, but no, and by the way, no relation to Epic Games, just for so in case people are confused.
Epics, E-P-Y-X. If you're a Commodore 64 gamer, you definitely recognize that name. You can see it's burned in your brain.
Yep, so here's some of that. And you're hearing
not bad, Sid chipping.
Yeah, you're hearing some, you know, straight C64 business there. Which, by the way, that thing was so ahead of its time.
It really was.
I mean, this isn't news, but the ability for that thing to poop out the sound it did at the time it did and the graphics it did, like, it's almost embarrassing how kind of underpowered the NES is years later.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it was a more mass market success. It was also a little tiny box, easy to put on your TV and just go. You know, the C64 was a computer. It's just different, yeah. But I don't know. We don't give it enough credit. Well, you do because you're a giant C64 guy. But anyway, best part of that game is this. I'm going to play it right here.
Hello.
Hi, Barbie. It's Ken. Would you like to go to the pool?
Sounds like fun.
Great. See you in an hour.
Whoa. What the hell? That was that part. That's her
Barbie's
car, right?
Corvette.
Yeah, listen to that.
Barbie's Corvette. This is before everything got pinkified. We're still using different colors, but yeah, that car was.
Oh yeah, it's a beast. And
you know, Barbie doesn't know she needs to get her muffler looked at. You know, that's the whole joke, right? Goldfarb.
Yeah, Goldfarb. Well, nice going, Goldfarb. Who lived? Is still alive, right? 101 or something.
Goldfarb is like 101 years old. Eddie Goldfarb in his studio made this game. He only did two games. They only did two games.
Yeah.
This and Hot Wheels the next year. Eddie is an old school game maker and inventor. He invented the chattering teeth. So if you've ever seen chattering teeth, that's the same guy. And I would totally believe you if you said there was a guy named Goldfarb that made the chattering teeth. I believe you.
Yeah, the toy, right? We're talking about the ones that sit on the table. You'd wind them up and they'd chatter all over the place.
That's right. That's right. Great. He made a whole bunch of toys. But that was the one that really caught my attention. And so he decided in 1984 or thereabouts that they wanted to, you know, progress, move forward with toys because we're getting into the digital era of stuff. And so he signed on for these two games, and then he got out because it just wasn't his jam. Mm-hmm. But you can really tell because this game plays like a board game. So I don't know if you remember any of the kind of games where it's basically a dating board game. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen your sisters or any aunts or anything have those old dating board games.
I mean, the idea was like you would roll dice and you'd move to a space, and that space would be, here's a place to learn. I don't know. Here's where we have dinner or whatever. This is like that. And then it's like, all right, you're driving to the beauty salon. Boop. Your car stops and you get out, and you don't really get out. You're just in there. And she's now basically doing hairstyle changes. And so you do a bunch of that. So the gameplay there is literally just, we're going to drive a ways, and you don't control the driving. It just drives.
You can go faster or slower.
That's right.
The only control you have over the car.
That's right. And there's no obstacles or anything weird. We'll get to those in later games. Yeah. But she'll go into the thing, and you can just swap out all this hair and kind of mess around with it. This is, the only one I didn't get any play time with. I watched a video.
Then let me...
Give me your all about it. Yeah, because you played a whole bunch more, I could tell on your stream. But for whatever reason, I could not get this one to launch. I was having trouble, and I was like, well, forget it. I'll just play these. I played the NES and all the Genesis stuff.
You probably couldn't get it to launch. You probably got confused. Okay, so I use Vice Accurate for my emulation of Commodore 64. And the reason why is because it emulates a 1541 disk drive. I had one back in the day, and if you listen real closely, you can hear the drive grinding because that's part of the emulator. It'll go... And it loads it at a very specific speed because it has to programmatically. Mm. So you'll launch it and it'll be like, what the hell's going on? I've been waiting for like 2 minutes. I mean, there'll be a video clip and then you got to wait 2 more minutes because that's how it was. That was gaming in 1984 on the Commodore 64.
You forget. Yeah.
Yeah. You forget about that. Mm-hmm. So, Ken calls you. That's how it all is initiated. He calls you. He assigns you, hey, we're going to the pool. And so then you suddenly find yourself in the car and you're riding down this strip, and it's the same six or seven buildings along the way. You've got a boutique for like regular, just normal clothes. You got a bathing suit, I think is what they call it. They call it bathing, something like that. They call it like a swimsuit store. Mm-hmm. You got a shoe store. You got a hair store. You go in there, you move your joystick around like a mouse. You select your things that you need. And you're basically doing it based on what he's saying to do. So you got to figure that out. If he says we're going to the pool, then you got to go get a swimsuit and get flip flops. If you get back and he's calling you again, it's because you failed. You didn't do the right things.
Yes.
And so he'll then initiate a second kind of date, and it'll keep going on throughout the date.
It's kind of annoying that Ken is calling all these shots, though. I'm annoyed by that.
It is totally a Goldfarb thing and this old school board kind of these old board games that where you would be like basically dating Sims, and so it's kind of hilarious and horrible all at the same time. But I had a lot of fun with this one because it's so dumb. If you don't play it, but know that it's. Is so bad that it's good. It's so dumb.
Yeah.
You can't believe that you're actually, once again, believing that Lucy is not going to pull the football out in front of Chuck because that's what Ken's going to do. Yeah. You're going to go. You're going to get the exact outfit that you think you should have. You may even do purple hair, which you can do, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
And he will go, we're going to the gym instead.
Yeah.
And then eventually... eventually you'll either by luck or by doing it right, you'll go on the date.
Yeah.
And I found this to be true a couple of times. Sometimes I go on the date.
Yeah.
And it's the correct outfit and we're at the correct location.
Yeah.
And sometimes he says we're going to the prom and I get all dressed up in my dress and my nice little fixed up hair and my high heels.
Yeah.
And he takes me to the gym.
Yeah, he does.
And I'm like, you did not say we're going to the gym. You said the prom. And so the very end, whenever you go to your location, when he does go with you, Ken's on one side. And then the outfit you picked out, you're standing right next to him. And then in the background is the locale. And so I'm all in my prom dress standing in front of the gym. I'm like, come on, Ken.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
What we're saying is he's a douche boyfriend. He sucks. He sucks.
He's the worst.
He's bad.
But this is what happens when you have, I guess at the time, what was Goldfarb like? I'm approaching 60 or so. Asked to come up with some game mechanics for this new computer gaming thing based on an intellectual property, Barbie. So,
sure.
And he went with this old school.
He's like, you know what you need to do? See, you need to have Ken calling all the shots. See, I don't know why he talks like that, but
that's how he talks. The he's the Goldfarb. Like I said, gotta be careful. He's still alive. He could come get us.
I kind of want to see what he looks like. Do we have pictures of that guy right now? All shrinked.
I don't
up
know. And I can't imagine at 101 that he looks fresh. But I don't know. I don't want to make it to 101. I never say I want to make it to 101. Congratulations
if I ever see
those who do make it to 101.
Yeah, grats to all of you, but I don't really want to go that far. Here's what I would do. I would walk into the room quiet. He's asleep on a couch. All right. He's sleeping. He's just like with mouth open and all they do, like when you're old. No teeth, whatever. He's 101. And he's sitting there.
Right.
And I'll sneak in, tiptoe in. And then I'll put a bunch of speakers around and then do this right before he wakes up.
Nice.
That's what
Look,
I do.
Eddie Goldfarb, born Adolf Goldfarb. Had to change his name. You know what happened.
Oh, yeah. No, he's
101, born in 1921 in Chicago. My man, he gets all kinds of credit for inventing over 800 toys. I'm sure a lot of those were crap, but he did the yakety yak, the talking teeth, battling tops. You might probably remember Kerplunk.
I remember Kerplunk.
Stompers.
Absolutely.
You remember Kerplunk.
Yeah.
Vacuum forms. And there's even a documentary, a short-winning short called Eddie's World that I didn't get around to, but
I
want to watch it.
I saw this. That's that guy. Yeah. He was married to the Barbie lady, right?
Was he married to the Barbie? I'm not sure. I haven't watched it yet. No spoilers. Does he make a Barbie game?
Yeah, no kidding, right? Did he make this? He's not the slinky guy. That's somebody else.
No. He made Shark Attack, though. I remember that. There's a whole bunch
Shark
of, like
Attack.
I said, he's done. He did a Star Trek game. I mean, he's been doing a lot. And I didn't know this, but he's part of Idiot. And I'm like, what? International designer and inventor of toys. You cheeky bastard.
Really? They made a thing called Idiot? That's the name of their acronym?
They're international designer and inventor of toys.
Initialism?
I almost went down a rabbit hole hard trying to when I was doing this Barbie stuff with this guy.
Oh, spare yourself the pain and the agony, man. All right. Let's jump forward to 1991, and I'm going to play some audio from a little game called... I think it was just called Barbie. Yeah.
It was also Barbie again. So, you know, 84, and then it's going to be 7 years later. No one noticed that first one, the Commodore 64, they hope. So we went straight to the NES and DOS.
Yep. Here's what that sounded like.
Barbie.
You know, again, Nintendo's music stuff, their chip just didn't sound as good as that C64.
Yeah, this is 7 years later, and it does not sound as good as the Commodore 64.
No, Barbie. But here's a little gameplay. So, as you know, the NES was that whole era was rife with 1,000 side scrolling platformers.
Yeah.
It was
IP
just the way of
side scrollers.
It's what everyone did. Yeah. That's all anyone wanted to do. And it was the big innovation. Think of it as the way shooters are these days in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
This game pissed me off at first. But I have additional feelings about this since I played it a bunch. And so I'll get to that in a second. But basically, it's a very colorful, I would actually argue, kind of decent-looking game.
It's not bad for an NES because the NES color palette's kind of, honestly, is kind of weak.
Yeah, and, you're not wrong.
This is okay.
Yeah, it's not bad. It was, what, are we, eight colors on the NES?
Yeah, yeah. It's a little, I don't even think it was that much. I think you had to like reserve two for something else. I don't remember what it was.
But yeah,
it was,
that
it's,
sounds
it's
right.
It's a low palette.
But it doesn't show. It looks real good. Mm-hmm. And they have a lot of animation and other stuff. Again, you know, it's Barbie stuff. But it's a straight up platformer with like challenges and tricky stuff. Yeah. And look, I mean, this little fight with the cat right here is a big pain in the ass.
You're actually not fighting the cat. You're actually,
you're not, yeah, you're trying to just get to the cat.
You have companion animals in this game. This game is really forward thinking.
Yeah, in a lot of ways it is. A lot of puzzle elements that you control by throwing these weird gems at things, like throw the gem at the cat and then the cat will move and then you can get past this place that seemed insurmountable. Well, when I played it, I didn't know what those gems did. So I got stuck a lot and I realized, this is a proper video game that I would have had a hard time with and maybe had to get a strategy guide for. Like, it's not, it's not just some throwaway thing. Yeah.
Or at least read the manual because that's a charm bracelet she has. So here's the setup for him. Barbie, this is weird Japanese ideology. So we had old man board game in the first one. This one we have
Goldfarb had stepped aside. He was not doing this.
Right. So this is now we've got Barbie. She needs her beauty rest. And so she's trying to sleep because she's got a big day the next day with Ken. And in her dreams, which is where you're playing at in Dream World, you're trying to platform your way through without getting hit. Every time you get hit, you lose a Z off your Z bar. And if you lose enough Z's, you wake up. If you do it three times in a row, you have to completely start over. But if you do it, if you lose all the Z's once, I think you just start back over at the beginning of each level. Each level is a theme. I think the first one's like sports or something like that. But each one of them has like enemies that are disembodied things, like a tennis racket that is floating or shoes that chase you. It's weird. It's a dream world, right?
It's a weird
Barbie
dream
world.
Yeah.
Is what it is.
It's a good way of putting it. And it's varied. Like once you pass the first one, you're like dressed different, the color palette changes, it's different obstacles. It's a legit platformer. Like that part really surprised me. And when it started, I thought this isn't going to be the one I like. It ended up being my favorite of the bunch.
It's not the worst platformer and it's not the best platformer.
Oh, by far not the best, but
it's a competent.
There you go. The word's competent. It's a competent platformer. Yeah. For any skill set, I think you'd actually have a decent time with it. It became my favorite. There's interesting attempts in some of the others we're going to talk about that I don't think fully paid off. There's a game that didn't come to market. I now understand why it didn't.
That one, I played it.
Yeah, it I like part of it. I was like, oh, this could have been cool. And then I went, not really. Yeah. This is a bad idea. Everything
so
about this.
One of the complaints that you would hear from people on this one, and when I say people, I mean people who are on the lookout for what makes a good girl game.
Yeah.
They were upset because this used a platforming mechanic, which is very popular at the time, instead of doing things that they felt like girls wanted to do. And I think platforming is pretty universal. So I kind of reject that criticism. I don't think I know just as many girls who loved Mario platforming as any dude. I don't know. I've yet to meet a girl who went, platforming. I hate that.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think maybe it would have been more accurate to say if you are a Barbie fan coming to this game, you didn't do a lot of Barbie things. Right. You know, yeah,
that might be more be like if this was a Hot Wheels platformer, it'd be like, that doesn't make any sense. I need to be racing. Why am I platforming?
Yeah, if someone says, hey, we're making a fighting game or we're making a Mortal Kombat. What's it called? Mortal Kombat Lunch. And then they say, wait, what does that mean? Oh, it's just a game where you sit around and eat. Like, that wouldn't make any sense to people.
It's Mortal Kombat Food Court.
Yeah, nobody wants that out of their Mortal Kombat game. So if I were a Barbie fan, I would have seen this game and gone, well, okay, but when do I, you know, like, give me a little mission before this where I dress up and figure out what I'm going to wear.
Yeah. Why am I fighting outfits? Why am I not, you know, playing the game that I like to play in real world, which is, you know, dressing up and doing things like that. Right.
Yeah. I think it's just an interesting problem that they were, at the one hand, they were probably like, well, we want this game to be good. And on the other hand, they're like, well, yeah, but it's not very much like Barbie. And I don't know where you find the right, where you land, you know, like in the middle.
We really, We definitely struggled in these first couple of games with Barbie, and that's what makes these interesting. This is what they did wrong before we end the show with what they got right. And it's trying to use popular game mechanics of the time, ignoring the needs of the gamers, like of the property that you mentioned. It's like, this is not what I want from a Barbie game. Right. It's fine as a game mechanic, but this is not the expectation.
No, so, not really. Could have been skinned as almost anything besides Barbie, and it would have still probably worked. So we go from
By the way,
yeah, go ahead.
The DOS version, I played both, the NES version.
Oh, you did? I didn't do the DOS version. I only did NES for my video.
You can play the DOS version on myabandonware.com. I always forget it's .com. But anyway, myabandonware, look for it. You can play it right there in the browser. And I played the DOS version, and it's much more colorful, which you would expect from a PC. And it has that same problem that a lot of PCs had. Nintendo was really good about rendering. So side-scrolling was always fantastic and it always looked smooth. And DOS was kind of choppy. And sometimes they would even make games. Yeah, they would even make games sometimes where you went screen to screen. So you would get to the edge of the screen and then it would render the whole new screen. But at least you did get side-scrolling here in the DOS version. And it's a little more colorful, but the jumping's a little more floaty. So I think the NES version is probably a superior way to play this.
We have come a long way in those DOS days when it comes to PC gaming. Those were ridiculous times, everybody. I'm glad we were there for it. But
basically, Barbie 1991 is don't wake Barbie. So you platform your way and don't let her get woken.
Well, here's what you want to do. So if you're actually in bed and you're like, I want to play a Barbie game in bed. Well, good news, because the year after, they made a game called Game Girl.
Yeah.
All right. But
look how fabulous Barbie is here. She is
fabulous. Look at that hair. It is very similar to the NES game, but had better platforming. I went and played this a bit. It's good.
It's good. It's legit good. This, out of all the Barbie games I played as a guy who likes platforming, this was my jam.
Yeah, I like this the most. Weirdly, because it's crappy colors and no colors in the case of the Game Boy, but.
I will say this. You're right. It is crappy colors. It's monochrome. However, if you're emulating this in 2022, I definitely recommend that you use the core option, if it's available to you, to use the color palettes. And there's one called Pocket Girl, and it looks fan-freaking-tastic.
Oh, yeah. I mentioned Pocket Girl, but I didn't mean to. Yes. Not Pocket Girl. Wait. Game Girl is the game. What do they call
it? Game Girl's the game.
They literally call it Game Girl, right? Even though it says Barbie in the main screen.
Right. They called it Game Girl. It is Barbie, however you want to say it, Game Girl for the Game Boy. Clever, get it. But then you can use Pocket Girl color palette. Whoo, and you'll get your best experience.
There you go.
This is, like I said, this is a legit platformer. If you throw away the idea of Barbie doing Barbie things and just go, okay, Barbie's about to platform through some stuff.
Yeah,
this is the game.
How she changes clothes in the game, and then that gives her different jump abilities and runs and stuff.
Yes.
My favorite one is she basically flips like Samus in the Metroid games. I love that.
She does. Yeah. That first power-up is like a heart, which you can get by throwing charms at the platforms, and they rearrange. I love that mechanic. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have the ability to flip, and then you can engage in with the enemies. I don't know what the enemies are. I didn't want to read. But this was good for me. I like this one. As a guy, I like this one. I like to hear what other people think. But
there's match. I didn't know there was a match game, mini game here.
They did try to figure out what ladies like somewhat, I suppose, because there's a lot of match games in all of these Barbies. It's like memorization and matching. I guess that's what they thought.
Girls were into. You want to match, Not like my my daughter's little boy. He says you want to make it match, and means he needs he needs to poop. That's what he says.
Need to poop. You want to make a match? You gotta light the match.
Yeah, you gotta light the match. Match.
I really thought the platforming was solid.
Yeah, it was good. It played really well, which that's a big deal for us.
Yeah, here it was a little jumpy though. I will give them this. They allowed me to platform to a degree that was kind of like a crutch. They would allow me to. If I missed my platform by a lot, as long as I kept holding on to the jump button, it would kind of scoot me over a couple of pixels. Like, here, let me help you out there, buddy.
Yeah, let me just push you forward a little
bit. You didn't quite make it, but close enough.
Now, if you existed in the year 1993, you know, think of the year. Mm. That was the year we got Jurassic Park. That was the year we were fully into the 16-bit revolution, if you want to call it that. So our Genesises and our Genesi.
Yeah, Genesis, Mega Droves.
Yeah, our Mega Droves, our Super Nintendo systems. We were having a ball. Yes. And that year, for both the SNES, Genesis, and DOS, once again, brand new game came out called Barbie Supermodel. Oh, here's what that sounded like right here.
That's got to be SNES version, right?
This is Genesis, actually.
Really?
Yeah, it's not bad. Genesis had a decent... You can hear it with the beats, because there was Telltale Genesis.
Yeah, I can hear it now.
Anyway, those are the two... That's the version I played, so I capped it from that. But the Genesis version and the SNES version were pretty close to each other, as usual back then. Although, it's not always usual. Sometimes they're totally different, but they were pretty close. The DOS version, I didn't get a chance to play. Did you play that? Just by
I checked all of these out once again in my abandonedware. Had this one as well.
Same problem again, with like the chop and all that, like the choppy screen tear and all that was in the DOS.
Actually, version. It wasn't as bad here. It was actually pretty smooth at this point. Hmm. Everything looked pretty similar on all three platforms. I think the Genesis had better textured sprites. Mm-hmm. I think, if I remember correctly.
Well, once again, this game had potential, in my opinion, because it was this. Here's the idea that you're in the overworld most of the time in your cool Corvette, your convertible.
Pink. And
you're driving around trying to avoid hippies and weirdos and families, station wagons and all that kind of thing. And then on the road are these little Barbie hearts with a B on them.
Yeah.
And also some stars.
Power-ups and bonuses, a chance or something like that, I think.
Yeah, all that kind of crap. And then at one point, you'll go to a dance studio and practice a dance, which you will need later when you're at an actual dance performance, which I didn't realize until I got there.
I didn't either. Yeah. And so I didn't read the manual. I just started playing, and I got to I didn't understand what's going on, because you drive from left all the way to right, and you do this whole practice thing, and it keeps going in a loop. And I'm like, am I supposed to do something here? Mm-hmm. And then I left, and then I got all the way back to the other side of town, and that's when I found out, oh, I should have memorized that. I didn't do it.
And you can speed up, slow down. It's got, you know, some interesting stuff there. And you can get hurt if you run your car into other cars. You got to be careful there. But as usual, so it's really weird, but out in the middle of the road, a camera will be laying there. If you run over the camera, it takes you to a magazine stand. And at the magazine stand, you're trying to match her look on a magazine. So you'll look at the magazine first, and it's either a close-up, shoulders and up, or it's full body or whatever. And you're supposed to go, all right, green hat, red thing, earrings, whatever. And then it will switch to a screen where you can, that's all jumbled.
Yeah.
And you're trying to match it with what you remember being on the magazine. And then if you get it, you get a bunch of points. If you don't get it, you just move on. It's no big deal.
No, it is so frustrating, because if it was just like everything was on the screen, I probably could pick it out. But you have to slide Barbie in and out in different outfits until you find the right outfit, and then you have to adjust the colors.
Yeah.
So when I see the original magazine, I'm like, okay, got it. Check. Red, this, that, gotcha. Okay, no problem. And I get into the changing room, and you have to switch between Barbies until you get to the outfit itself before you start changing the colors. And by the time I get to the outfit, I'm like, oh my God, I've seen a million other outfits. I can't even remember what the crap I was doing, but it's all matches, right? It's memorization.
It's just memorization. And it's true of her dance thing too, because once you remember the dance, you take her to the runway model thing, and then you're like, oh yeah, it was CCBB or whatever. And hot damn, you're the big winner.
Hot damn, I'm a winner. And then in stage two, which they started on, basically it's the same thing. You keep going through stages. The first one is you're riding the Corvette. The second one, you're doing roller skates, and you're going from left to right to get to the practice session, so that you can come back all the way back across the screen, doing those memorization mini games along the way, and then performing and getting your points. I'm not sure what the love chance is and stuff. I don't know if I didn't play long enough. I did get a couple of retro achievements, though. I remember I've talked to you about it before, right? The retro achievements you
can do. Oh, yeah, they were that got added to RetroArch now. That's such a cool thing. I love that.
It is. So I got a couple of retro achievements for doing something.
So is that like up and down? Like what's the coverage of those? Are there achievements for every retro game? Are they building all the time or what?
Right, they're building. So retroachievements.org, from what I can see, what I understand, you go to the forums. It's not automated. All of it's very hands-on. So a lot of games already have predetermined achievements based on whatever they have. Usually a speed runs, you know, like you finish this part here. And what you do is you go in, if there's a game not in the database, then you contact people in the forums and they have a discussion and they make a list of which achievements should be done. And then they, I guess, manually enter that into the database. And then you'll see it when you launch the game. If you are logged in through RetroArch, it will pop up and say there's X number of achievements. You've achieved this, just like you're on your Xbox.
So who's in charge? I mean, the people that can submit these achievements are who? Is it you? Could you do it?
We can submit them. Anybody can submit them. If you look and you see that the game that you want, that you play, doesn't have an achievements, which some of these Barbie games did not, you can recommend and request, and they'll, I guess there's some kind of process that's all done manually. That part's a little bit of mystery. It doesn't seem like there's any rhyme or reason behind that.
That's so interesting, because it seems like something you'd want to curate a little bit. Otherwise you'd have achievements that say, it's like I'm looking at Advance Wars, it would say move right. One space you got an achievement.
Well, no, you don't just submit it and they just don't go, yeah, let's do it like this. No, there's a whole curated part to
okay
it,
there is that's good decision. Yeah, that's yeah, good yeah, yeah. This is really cool, and also I want to play Advance Wars again just by looking at it. That's all it takes. I look at Advance Wars and I go, oh, I would like to play that, please, right now.
And that's coming, because there's a new one coming out, what, next year? Is that right?
Well, it got bumped for because of the Ukraine Russia thing.
That's right.
And they bumped it because those countries in the game are basically based on Russia and the Ukraine, or other Eastern Bloc countries, or other former Soviet countries.
Right.
And so Nintendo just felt like that was really inappropriate at the time. I don't know if they're going to wait until the conflict's over, if that's even a thing, or if they just give it enough time to breathe, or I don't know if they're even doing it now. Like, I don't know if that's, they haven't said there's no new date. So
yeah,
I hate that. It was supposed to be like last March or May or something.
Yeah.
And it never came out.
Sad. That's we'll such just a good do a series. Show regardless.
Yeah, we got it. Oh, dude, I would love to have a whole show on Advance Wars.
We're going to get there.
Oh, I'd love
that. We're only on episode 49, Scott. Can you believe it's only been, about 1 year approximately?
That's insane. Hey, we are at our 1 year anniversary almost. It'll be right at the top, probably next week, I guess, right?
Yeah, a couple weeks, yeah.
We'll figure it out. All right, moving on. Let's talk about the one that never happened, the one that never existed, except in our hearts.
The prototype, and man, you can access it just about anywhere though. But
and I played this shit today, man. I really liked where this was going for a while.
Yeah,
and then I hated it.
So
there's a reason this didn't get made. It's unreleased, 1994, a game called Barbie Vacation Adventure, and it was a prototype. It never got here.
Right.
It is a weird thing that you're presented basically with. Hey, in fact, when I first saw it, I thought, oh, Barbie is going on a point and click adventure. That's what it felt like at the beginning. It's not quite that. It's some point and click elements, but there's also like this scene we're looking at right here. She's taking a picture of wildlife, but you're actually moving this like camera lens around to do it. It looks nice, you know, as far as presentation and stuff. It's a nice looking game, but where it ultimately failed for me was the five or six states you can go to. I think it's Texas, Wyoming, Iowa, Miami, or Florida rather, and California. Is there one other? I think that might be it. You go to each one of those, I'm like, okay, if there's really cool varied things to do here, this would be neat. No, they're dumb.
They're not a lot of depth. I mean, you go to Texas, you ride a horse. You go to Iowa, you have to get to catch pigs.
Yeah, and that just was the biggest waste of all time, catching pigs.
Yeah, but oh man, you're right though. This one had so much potential. But once again, here we are, 1994, 10 years after the first one, we have yet to get a Barbie game that actually leaned into what Barbie is. Right? We're still not focused on what Barbie lovers love about Barbie.
Mm-hmm. At all.
It's mini games.
At all. No, yeah. At all. Like this game is more like there's a little bit of a fantasy trip here of like equestrian horse jumping. And, you know, some of that might have appealed to somebody, some kid somewhere, but I don't think this captured it.
Yeah. You nailed it earlier when you said it wasn't really Barbie appropriate necessarily. It was just, you know, this could be anybody.
Yeah. That's a good sound though. Listen to this. Using the theme. Hey there, Barbie girl.
There, Barbie girl.
Something, something,
why
something.
Don't you get Barbie on your horse and ride.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, it just it tried to do some stuff that I thought was innovative. And when I first fired this one up, I went, well, this is easily going to be my favorite. There's depth to this.
Yeah.
But then
yeah.
in the places there should have been depth, there just really wasn't any depth.
And I'm thinking probably just because it never made it out of the prototype phase. It was a good proof of concept.
Yeah.
And I would like to see where this went to. I didn't get a chance to do as much research as I want to, but I feel like wherever game development team that came together to put this together, I think somebody went on to something else, because this is a good game, a prototype. It was definitely going somewhere.
Yeah, I think it may have had, who knows why they pulled the plug. It's hard to find details right. on that, but
I think it's because they did failure after failure. I don't think any of these games really sold that well. I mean, until 1996.
Yeah, the Tell the one we're really interested in. Before we get to that, though, I just wanted to say, what was it? It was something. Oh, the volleyball minigame I really liked. I thought that was fun. I thought that was actually a pretty competitive, good time, and I lost a lot, though.
look at those raptor hands.
Yeah, though. Look at the animation when they're fully extended. That's rough.
Barbie, I'm Barbie Malibu.
But it's legit kind of a fun minigame, and I assume since it had two player options, there's probably a way to play against your friend in that.
I'm assuming so, yeah. I don't think any of these have been multiplayer, have they? I think...
This one had an option to choose to have two people, but I didn't test it, so yeah. I'm not really sure if it works.
And the chat room does make a good point. 9 of 12 says Barbie was kind of about fantasy of lifestyle and travel. That's actually true as well.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's almost 100% of it, and that's hard to duplicate in a game.
Yeah.
Because mechanically, you have to stay interesting but also be true to that vision, and it's tricky. The game I played the commercial for at the beginning of the show, this one.
The painting's gone. Barbie, we've got a mystery to solve.
That was like a future 2003 or 4 game. The audio was better than most of the other commercials, which is why I used it. But it had, it was basically solving crimes. And I thought that was a pretty interesting take of like,
right.
And Barbie's just on vacation.
Came up on-
yeah, kind of like that. And it was like, well, she's on vacation. But something's gone awry, and Barbie's going to find the evidence to figure out who murdered the old man or whatever.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That appealed to me. I didn't play that.
Once again, that appeals to us. I wonder how that one did sales-wise. I'm curious about that, because I just feel like the core audience of Barbie is going to be that, because it's where they target at, between 3 and 9 years old. Did they get in those side quests of Barbie, or is it... Or is it just kind of stay in the realm of, you know, it's
well, the girls in the commercial looked about 12. So it seemed like maybe they were aiming for a little older in this one. But
Maybe so. That's what we probably do. Probably trying to break outside of that, outside of their mold, right?
Yep. It's a lot better than this.
Yeah. See you in an hour.
See you in an hour. I'm Ken.
Oh, God, Ken, I hate you. So every time I hear that.
He's a poo-poo. He's a poo-poo.
Yeah. He's a poo-poo head.
All right. Let's get to this one. All right. This is the one.
Hi, I'm Barbie. Let's make some fun clothes for me to wear. Click anywhere on the screen to begin. Making clothes for me is really easy and fun. Let me show you around.
I feel like she's just talking kids into making her shit for her so she doesn't have to do anything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little bit there. Just a little.
I played this nun because I couldn't get my so this is our we're 96. This is the first Windows Mac game. So this required like a Windows machine. I think Windows 3.1, but it wasn't a DOS game. So that meant I had to set up some Windows 98.
You could run it on 95, 98 and all that, but
yeah.
It was still, I think you're right about there was no other way. This wasn't a console game, that's for sure. They didn't do that. This was multimedia business. This was them going, hey, Myst and a million other games now. They got real sound and voice work and all this. What if we did one? And they did one.
This was smart. And during 91, there's estimates between upper 300,000 to 500,000 copies of this sold. And for good reason, this was a time when, dads were trying to justify purchasing that PC or Mac, and justifying the reason for getting that printer. And this was, that's exactly what it says. It was a multimedia type of game. It was, you designed your outfits. The gameplay is very simple. It's not, you could argue, is it really gameplay? I don't know. But you design your own costumes, or you do ones that are already off the rack for Barbie, and then you can print those out.
Yep.
And then do some real world stuff. So it was sold as a kit.
Yeah. You can do the whole schmear. And the whole idea, the gameplay, I would argue it's still gameplay, but the gameplay is basically a character creator, the game.
Yeah.
There you go. And it's just, you know, all these different outfits and then information about how to cut them out and how to put them on your actual Barbie doll. And, and you're the one designing this thing that she's now wearing. So when you go to your friend's house and they got all their store-bought crap, you can go, yeah, well, I made mine with my deal.
This is brilliant, because this was bridging a gap, because we had, at this point in time, there had been kind of a lag for aiming games at girls. And so they were still very much in the physical world as far as how they're being marketed to. And this was kind of like a half step, right? It was both digital and physical. So if you had all those Barbie dolls and you wanted to do some stuff, some mock-ups and stuff, you could. So it kind of gave it, took it to the next level.
Yeah. This is the one that sold like crazy and made Doom look bad. Yeah. But it's funny, leaning into what makes Barbie sold right. the most. That seems like a lesson, you know, yeah. like don't take your source material for granted. Like I think this is true today. You're going to make a AAA game about, I don't know, Dune or anything big, right? Anything
yeah.
today.
Yeah.
You know, why does the 2016 Doom and the more recent Doom Eternal, why are they so revered? Because they leaned into what made Doom in the first place and right. didn't get all wrapped up in what Doom 3 tried to do, which is just make it a horror game.
Yeah.
There's something to that, where if you're going to have a source material or an IP you're working on, the truer you can be to that, the more you're going to appeal to players and or those who like that IP, and the more sales you're going to make. I just think yeah. you have to do that.
Yeah. If the gameplay doesn't match, it's going to be a lot harder to clear that hurdle.
Truth.
Right?
Truth. Totally agree.
Truth.
Anyway, that is our look at the 90s. There's other stuff. Like we mentioned, that Hot Wheels game that Goldfarb made. It's worth checking out on the C64. It's kind of
a thing. It's so stupid. I love it.
I just started playing that new one. There's a brand new Hot Wheels game that came out, I think, last year.
Oh, yeah.
It's very good. It's an excellent little racer, but it's funny to see that and then go back and play that C64 game. You're like, oh, okay. We have come a long way, folks. Yeah. There was also a 94 educational game called Barbie and Her Magical House.
Dude, I don't know if you got any video of that, but oh my God.
I probably do.
I missed this the first time I went around to looking at Barbie games for us to cover between the start and the 96. And man, this thing is a behemoth. It's an educational game. But man, the multimedia was tight at this game. They had, it would obviously had to be a CD because it had all kinds of voice acting and things. It has all these mini games. It's pretty massive. And I think it kind of leans more into the Barbie thing, and I'm surprised it didn't do better. I don't know what that part is.
That was a logo. That was whoever did this video's logo, I think.
Right, yeah. But this really is pretty weird. Cool. This really leans into the Barbie world. Mm-hmm. You know, you're doing all the stuff like the Barbie house, all the stuff that you would have bought, you're interacting with. So this felt to me like, I don't understand why this didn't hit bigger. Because it seemed like it was doing the things that we've talked about, really leaning into your Barbiness.
Well, I think you're probably looking at a time problem, because 94 would have been pre-Windows 95.
Right.
You would have had to deal with DOS and all that mess. CD-ROM player, this was a multimedia thing, and it was on CD. That right. was rare. Single-speed CD-ROMs were expensive as shit back then.
Yeah.
So I think there was a cost prohibitiveness. It's kind of like VR in its early days. It's like, I can't afford $1,000 VR helmet just to try these five games, you know?
Yeah.
I think there's a bit of that. Dad
cannot convince the family to get it for this.
Yeah. Right? I bet you that's a huge part of it. And that would change very quickly. In 2 years is all it takes for all of that stuff to become ubiquitous. And suddenly everyone can play the new Barbie game. And then that thing sold like crazy. So
yeah,
I think that's the deal there.
But this was all kicked off by an article. If you would like to read more, there was a post, Mary Kinney, who's a senior writer at Insomniac, and the author of the book Gamer Girls, 25 Women Who Built the Video Game Industry. So it's very slanted in that way. But back in October, she posted a Twitter post that basically hit the statistic that during a certain time frame during 1996, that the dress-up game, the digital domain created for Barbie, outpaced Doom in its first year of sales. Which, you know, when you think about it, Doom was originally, was shareware. I think this might have been later in its life cycle. And I think about the most common way to purchase it was probably through mail order, whereas you probably would have found Barbie at retail stores. So,
well, Doom by that point, so Doom in the early days, like 92 when it launched, that was Usenet / like you said, shareware, order it in the mail, that kind of thing. But I think by 96, this stuff's on, Doom's on shelves. And so this makes it even more impressive that this Barbie game out and kind of rocked it that year. Because Doom was huge.
I think, I heard Mary Kenny's original point that this was a very important game is still correct. And I'm glad that she posted it, and I'm glad I got to dig deeper into it. And I've been educated. So
yeah,
I like it too.
Being educated. Yeah, and Brian didn't mean, when he says slanted in that way, he doesn't mean that in a pejorative. He means that's a positive thing to hear this other, Games are, it's such a dude fest. Everything about games these days, not less than ever. Like, we're making huge progress. Right. We really are. But it takes a long time, and we're still kind of mired in a bunch of it. And it's unfortunate because some of my most ardent gamer friends are women.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they love it. They're dedicated. Yeah. They freaking dig it. They beat me in Overwatch, whatever. Like, it's a different time than it was back then. And I'm really glad that we're at least getting some progress in that regard. I think
these upcoming generations are doing way more about it than we did growing up. And hopefully this will not be a discussion in the future. Hopefully
My kids, my two daughters, enormous gamers. They love playing. Yeah. My daughter in a one-on-one Overwatch match will make mince of me. She'll destroy me. They're great. They're really good, and they know their stuff. And I don't know. I love it. I love that this generation gets to be what they want in that way.
Yeah. This is part of the retro thing that it's just fine for it to live in the past. I'm glad we've progressed beyond that. And
agreed.
That's
agreed. All right. Now, here's the important thing of the day. Not really. That was important, but also this is
destroy it.
We're going to try to convince each other to get this wrong. Although I think I'm going to give you enough hints that you're probably going to get it. This is called Guess My Game. We play audio from old games and we try to stump each other. I'm going to start. Brian, this is a game from 1992. This is a game that was on the Game Gear.
Oh, the Game Gear, say.
The Sega Game Gear, the biggest handheld I ever owned until the Steam Deck came. I think it was honking huge with a little tiny postage stamp screen, it felt like. But anyway,
it was so small compared to the rest of the unit.
And the batteries I would burn through in a day. Man, what a joke.
Crazy.
Anyway, it's also based on a film. So there's your hint. 92, Game Gear, 92. Based on a movie of the same year the movie came out that it's based on. Here's your audio.
Is this Axel Foley?
No. Any guesses besides that?
That sounds so familiar.
92, remember? That's the big hint here. Movie in 92. You know what? Here's your other hint. It was a big movie, but a lot of people were disappointed in it. Had a lot of expectations on it. Huh. It's also a film we watched for FilmSack, if that helps.
What? Disappointed in 1992 film that made it to the Game Gear that sounds like that.
The chat has got it yet. Nope.
Is this episode one or something?
No, that would have been 99. So we're not there yet.
Right, way off. That's what I was trying to think. I was like, what would have been in 92 that we would have known to be disappointed in? Because I don't think we got disappointed in things. And I don't think we ever got disappointed on anything until episode one. And then it was just like a whole hate fest for decades.
One of my favorite people in the community got it in the chat.
Oh, good, good.
Do you give up? Good. You want me to tell you?
So 1992, Game Gear.
Yep. This is
it's
me playing
a shooter of some sort, it sounds like.
I played it for 2 hours today. Had a great time. I probably almost beat it for a cart that small. I don't know, actually.
And people were disappointed.
Yeah.
Back to the Future Part 3, Biff's adventure.
Nope. Some people said True Lies. No one was disappointed in True Lies. Others said Street Fighter. That was 94, I believe.
I'm assuming it has to be a franchise of some sort for people to be disappointed, or a something making it to screen, like a Batman film or something.
It is a franchise, I'll give you that.
It is a franchise. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Well, I did say Back to the Future, but I can't recall when the third one came out, because it was like 87 and then 90. What was it? What was the third
one? First one was 85. Second 85. One was 87?
Seven? I would say.
Maybe 8.
Right.
But that's not it. I can tell you it's not that franchise.
Yeah, we haven't watched that.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good one. You got me. I'm stumped. I can't guess your game.
Here it is. I was going to tell you, my next hint was going to be Prison Planet, but I'll just tell you. It was Alien 3.
Aliens.
Alien 3 was the game. The movie, slightly disappointing. Although not to me. I love the movie, and I always liked it, and I still like it today. Yeah. I think the people's biggest problems were who died early and their expectations about certain things story-wise. But it was my first exposure to David Fincher. I love the tone of it. I love the idea of a space prison. Like, I love that those concepts. It's also pretty damn good, and people just forgot. But anyway, that's the game. Alien 3. Congratulations to Greg for Walkman in the chat for getting that correct.
Look at Greg for Walkman. Look at you knowing stuff.
And that game was on everything.
I knew it sounded familiar. I just couldn't place it.
They had versions on SNES and Genesis and all that. I could have gone with one of those, but I didn't do it. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours. What are my hints for this thing?
The year is 1996, and this would have been on your PC Windows. I don't think it came to Mac. Let me take a look. Actually, it did eventually make it to PlayStation. It also played in DOS. I did not know that. So Windows on the original PlayStation and DOS of all places.
All right, here we go. Is this The Sims?
Point and click adventure. No, it does have some Sim sound. You're right about that. It's a point and click adventure, though.
Day of the Tentacle?
Oh, it's, you might be in some of those kind of areas, but I wouldn't say it's one to one. Don't take too much into that, what I just said. But yeah.
Okay.
DreamWorks Interactive published this thing. This should have been pretty
DreamWorks,
on for them.
Based on a film or something?
No.
It's not Sam and Max.
No, but you are in the point and click adventure area. This is good guessing.
I don't know. Give me another hint. Do you have another hint? Give me a
closer. It's the takes on the adventure of a character named Clayman.
Clayman?
Mm-hmm.
Is this Clayman here? That?
Yes, that's Clayman.
Clayman.
He kind of looks like a duck. I think he's a duck.
Oh! The duck looking guy. It looked like clay and stuff.
Like clay and stuff.
Neverhood.
Neverhood from 1996. Good job.
You gave it away with that duck thing, because that's what I remember that as a point and click thing. Wasn't that kind of claymation-y or something? Wasn't that the deal?
It was very claymation-y.
Hold on. Neverhood. I want to look it up.
Love this game.
I want to see it. I remember this. He was a duck.
It was like playing a freaking cartoon. It was just amazing.
Oh, this was 96?
Yeah.
I thought this was way later than that. Yeah, look at that chat. Oh, that was such a cool thing. I want more of this now. I want more stuff. I know there's other stuff, but I just want more of it. Please.
Yeah, a couple years ago, these guys came back. At least part of them did, and they did a Armacrog, which I helped kickstart. It was pretty cool.
Was it okay? Was it good?
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah, Did they
it's
capture
more of the same, but still it was good.
Did they capture the essence of the original?
And, they did. They did indeed.
Because they call that a spiritual successor sometimes. Is what they do.
Spiritual successor. It had the spirit of the neighborhood. I couldn't tell you who the developer was because the developer was the Neighborhood Inc.
Ah, the Neighborhood Inc.
Welcome to the treasure room.
Chat says Clayman was the pilot and choplifter. Fantastic. Ah,
Clayman. I tried to say it too. Like, you know, I didn't want to go Clayman.
Clayman. Yeah, good
and
point.
Clayman. I'd say Clayman.
Clayman. That makes sense. Hey, we got a couple of texts we're going to read this week. No email this week. We're going to do texts. You ready for these? Here you go.
No email.
No email. No mail from ye or ye. All right, here it is. 801-471-0462, by the way, is text message to use. We got two of these. One's anonymous. Well, both of them are. The first one says, Wordle is basically Hangman. I guess they just wanted us to think about that.
Yeah, I guess.
Sort of.
I guess.
I don't think it's quite the same. You know what? It kind of is.
I mean, you only get so many guesses.
Yeah, there's just no man to hang. So you don't, instead of saying, here's his head, now his body, when you get him wrong, you are just seeing dots, you're just seeing your chances of losing, you know, because you have five tries or whatever,
right?
Yeah, you know what, it is Hangman.
It's got a little bit of, it's got a bit of Hangman in it. How about that?
Yeah, chat says Mastermind. Yeah, that's true, but Mastermind is kind of Hangman. I don't know, man.
I guess maybe who came first,
the man or the hang?
Yeah.
All right, that's awesome. Here's one from another anonymous person. He says this, play retro. In retro gaming news, Archer MacLean, Commodore 64, an Atari developer and writer for Retro Gaming Magazine, has passed away at the age of 60. He's known for Drop Zone, International Karate, International Karate Plus, and other games. Yeah, I heard about this through other sources and stuff. But
yeah, back in the middle of December, I saw an article about that. It made me sad.
Yeah. You know what's a real bummer here? I talked to this guy and just now realized this is the same guy.
No, no, really?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, they approached me because they kickstarted the Retro Game Magazine thing.
Oh, yes.
And they'd asked me to do some comics for it. Right. And I can't remember what the deal was. I think I actually did the three or four commissions that they asked me to do. Is this the same magazine? I can tell you real quick. Pretty sure this is them. Oh, it's totally them. Oh, that makes me sad. Yeah, he was nice. Yeah. I talked to him a whole bunch of times, and he was so into this concept of, you know, basically what we do with the show, they were attempting to do with a magazine.
Magazine.
Which I think you can still subscribe to it. Let's see.
Yeah, there's several amazing retro magazines, and I'm always like, I really need to subscribe to those or they will go away. And I don't want them to go away. I like for them to be there.
Yeah. Can't tell here. I'm looking. I don't know if this, maybe they pulled out of it. Because I don't know how you make a print magazine and survive in 2022, but
niche,
anyway,
but
pretty cool. Ooh, their top banner is rad. Look at this, chat. Check this out. They got like little animated Pac-Man moving around up there and some asteroids. Look at this.
Oh, yeah. That is really old school.
That's some cool, I assume, HTML5. Yeah,
I've been there several times.
Yeah, this is where their stuff goes now, so I don't know if they're... Let's see, buy online, subscribe now, view digital editions. Oh, just go ahead and proceed.
Just go ahead and just do it.
Let me see here. I'm getting a privacy error. Magazinesdirect.com.
No, don't go there. That sounds like a bad place.
That's where it resolves now. I think they're done.
Defunct. Yeah.
Yeah, it bums me out because that was a cool idea and concept. That's probably why they didn't commission any more art. they went defunct. Anyway, that's sad news. Thanks for reminding us of it, though. It's worth mentioning. And that guy's got a storied career.
Yeah, we've been talking about a couple of games here. We talked about the International Karate.
Mm-hmm.
I forget, we talked about one episode not that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
He did the design and graphics for that.
Yep. There you have it. That'll do it for text, 801-471-0462. If you want to send us an email, you sure can. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com is where you send that to. Our next edition, speaking of Alien 3, guess what we're going to talk about? The Alien franchise as represented in retro gaming. That's right. We'll go all the way up to Jaguar, as far as I'm concerned. Somewhere in that range.
All right.
There is a lot of real good alien business. Some bad. Some very bad. And some fun crossover. Aliens versus Predator stuff. Like, happened on the Jaguar. But there's a lot to talk about there, including the side-scroller stuff for Aliens 1 through 3 that I really enjoyed, or at least 2 and 3. And that's the other thing. If you didn't like 3, the movie, you might actually want to give 3, the game, a chance. It's a very fun side-scrolling action game on all platforms, as far as I'm concerned. I played the Genesis 1. It's tricky. You got limited ammo. The aliens are actually kind of scary. And I say aliens, I mean alien.
Alien.
Although I think they show more than just the one. I can't remember. It's been a bit. But we're going to do it. We're going to talk about the alien films and their games. The films, forget about the films. We're going to talk about the games based on them. Okay?
We're going to talk about those retro games based on the alien films.
Yeah, and guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring up a really cool thing, which is Doom had, or somebody made a complete conversion mod for Doom, the original Doom. There was an alien mod, and they had all the sound effects. All the creatures were these fast, freaking moving aliens. That thing legit scared the pants off me playing that. Yeah,
I miss Wad Packs.
Oh, it was so good, dude. Those days were so great. Anyway, all of that and more on an upcoming episode, so watch for that. I do want to thank some patrons that are brand new as we round out the month and year. Huge thanks to Scott Plums and Nick O. These three folks bellied up and threw down right before the end of the year. Very appreciative of them and everybody who subscribes already to our feed over there. Would make sure you have monthly benefits, pre-show content every week, and no commercials ever, and more. So go check it out. That's at playretro.com.
I'll make it a commitment right here on air that I'm going to have at least one piece of extra content every month. And it may go up from there. We'll see what the response is to it. But yeah, just like on Film Sack, where we make a bonus little piece of work, we're going to do the same here.
I agree. Brian's unboxing of his Sega Genesis Mega Drive 2 thing was cool, the mini.
Yeah.
More stuff like that. Occasionally, I'll do something dumb. Like today, I filmed myself, or I did video of a supercut, me playing those stupid Barbie games. And
Did you post that to Patreon? Because I really enjoyed that.
I haven't, but will tonight. It's definitely worth watching. But we'll start doing some of that stuff that's exclusive to you. So now's the time to get in there. Patreon.com/playretro. Do it today. PlayRetroShow@gmail.com. In the meantime, PlayRetroShow on Twitter. And you can find the show at frogpants.com/playretro and wherever you get your podcast. I think that's going to do it. Oh, and don't forget to sign up for that PC. That address again, frogpants.com/doghouse, if you want to win a $4,000 super gaming rig that will play all your retro games.
You could probably put every Barbie game that's ever been made on that thing.
I think you could do that without even thinking about it in a tiny folder on your desktop. I think what you could do, you could play all the retro games ever made 10 times over simultaneously all at once on 20 screens if you wanted. So it's available to some lucky winner if you want to be among them, or at least among the choosing. Go over there and sign up today. Hey, Brian, anything else you want to mention before we go?
Absolutely. Probably some of that content on Patreon is going to be me doing some retro 3D printing, making my retro experience a little bit better. So thank you guys for your continued support throughout the year. A lot of what you've done has allowed me to keep moving forward and getting more and more retro experience. I do these 6 p.m. Eastern night, 6 p.m. Eastern, usually Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
We usually play.
Yeah, watch for that.
Except for when we're doing the Play Retro Show.
Yeah, yeah. What you're doing right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's going to do it. Thank you all for listening. Go play something retro. And we'll see you next year. Bye now.
No, next year.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
See you in an hour.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style?
Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.